Rise and shine, Atlanta. This is what, Wednesday, August 27th. The initial 53-man roster is set for our Atlanta Falcons, but there will be changes. I am Bo Morgan. They call me Squib Billy. He's the All-American National Champion, former Atlanta Falcon. Michael, don't ask him what the P stands for. Johnson, she is the First Lady of Baseball, Hurston Waldrop's number one fan, and the Queen of Tofu, the leader of Uber Steve and Allie's Army, Miss Allie Mack, the wonderful, the terrific Dylan Dylon Matthews. I was told to go easy on you, apparently, so there you go, Dylan. Love you, brother. And we are the Morning Shift. Good morning, all.
Hey, man.
I'll start by this. Saw Tigger downstairs going to fill my water bottle up. Mm-hmm. Big Tigger, you know, V103, sister station to us. And I said, what's up, man? How you doing? He goes, man, it's hump day. And I said, hell, man, I've been thinking it's Thursday all day.
All day.
Yeah, all 3 hours I've been awake.
All day as we sit. All day. Yeah, it's crazy.
And he
talk,
just started laughing. He laughed at me. He didn't say, oh, man, that sucks. He just laughed at me.
Well, yeah, he broke the news to you. I am surprised you didn't bring up, I'm actually disappointed you didn't bring up Dylan's wave this morning, because I just spied a little tribute to Lee Corso, and they were talking about the wave he does. Yep. And they were, like, paying respect to it. And I was like, that's what he's doing. He's paying respect to Lee Corso.
Man.
No, but he doesn't. He does the prom queen wave, and Corso does the more knuckly wave, right?
But regardless, he's remembered for it. Dylan, this is what you'll be remembered
well,
for.
Well, that's why I don't think people understand joking, but yeah, anyways.
I can start combining the two. I could do a prom Lee Corso wave like this. How y'all feel about this right here?
No, stick.
You like that?
Man.
You like that?
You do you, boo. All right. That's what you go with.
I'm a little bit nervous about this Corso thing on Saturday. I feel like I haven't even thought about it, but I'm like kind of nervous to watch it.
Yeah, Herbstreet's going to need his dog there with him.
There is no doubt.
And I say that sound. I know that initially you probably heard that out. You're like, what, the way you said it, but the way I said it was probably harsh. But Herbstreet had Corso meant a lot to Herbstreet. Mm-hmm. And I will give, you know, I'm hard on Herbstreet sometimes, but I give him a lot of credit. The way he has kind of helped Corso during these late years on that show after, you know, the health issues and everything, man, he's really took care of him. And I watched it with Al Michaels, too. You know, he does Thursday Night Football with Al Michaels, and Al Michaels is no spring chicken. And every time I see one, you see the other. And Herbstreet's always taking care of those guys. So He's a really good dude when it comes to that kind of stuff.
You won't find a bigger Herbstreet fan than me. I'm a massive fan of Kirk, and I've obviously met him a couple of times. He's a good dude. But the Corso thing is – that's going to be – I don't even know how to characterize that. It's going to be really tough for a lot of people to watch, you know, knowing that that era is kind of ending. A guy that has meant so much over the last, what, 30 years to college football fans. And obviously for me, I mean, I was trying to count the other day how many College Game Day games I probably played in.
Mm-hmm.
I came up with like 8, which was a good number.
I bet 2 were an LSU game.
Yes.
One was a Georgia, the black jersey Georgia game.
For sure. And the Georgia game the year before that when they won in overtime to Mikey Henderson.
The famous, what's up with Britney?
The Britney Spears game, yeah. And then there's 2 SEC title games in there.
Yeah, I was going to say it had to be a couple of those.
I'm trying to think. I had them the other day. But,
We just named 6. We just named 6 right there.
Yeah.
So the other 2 must have been.
More 8. Yeah, I'm pretty sure I counted 8.
Must have been like maybe Auburn. An Auburn game.
Yeah, probably.
I don't know. Maybe was the 06?
No.
Or 0...
There was 2 and 05 didn't play in, but I got redshirted.
With that 05 Florida game was a game day game, I believe.
The 05 LSU game definitely was. So
I mean, you might have just remembered that it was Wednesday, not Thursday, Bo, but clearly your memory, your brain is firing on all cylinders.
I was gonna say
that was pretty impressive.
The short term memory loss like Dory. That's the issue. The long term's fine.
What's this saying? What's that phrase, the idiot savant or whatever?
Mm-hmm.
That is football sports for me. Like any college football, I think people will be surprised that like I've always been a Falcons fan, always. But college football was always a sport that I followed religiously. Like, I mean, never missed Saturday college. I mean, I was remember being like 12.
It's always
13.
Easier to date college football happenings because of the players. You know that they turn over every 4 years.
Right,
if you just
were
talking about a Falcons game that Matt Ryan played in, you're like, dude, that could have been
it's
been
a long
anywhere,
span of right? time.
I was on the plane. We were talking to a couple of the equipment guys on the plane. We were talking about – I can't remember if we're getting on or off, but we were talking about how long we've been doing it and kind of the process.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, yeah, you've been doing it for I think I've been doing it for this 14th season on the road or something. And I was like, yeah, you've been doing it like this. It just kind of – you just kind of know the drill. You don't – nothing phases you. We were talking about memories, and I was like, dude, I was watching something on YouTube, highlights of something, maybe a player or something, and somehow Julio highlights came on. And it was like all the big plays of Julio Jones in his career. I did like every game he ever played in, and I don't remember half the highlights they were showing. I was like, but some of which you remember, and others you're like, I don't remember that. What year was that? And you have to remember it by what players, to Mike's point, were on the field with him. Anyways, we got more important things in mind.
Well, we are 8 minutes into the show, and we have not mentioned Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift.
Oh, yeah.
Like I said, we have more important things.
I'm rooting for him.
I'm rooting for him, too.
I want to believe that celebrity love actually exists.
It does.
When people say that, I'm like, what? Like, why would you? It sounds like an odd thing to say. Like, if your friends get engaged, you don't say, well, I'm rooting for them. I mean, we're all rooting for anybody
we're not friends with them.
Anybody that decides, you know, anybody that's in a relationship, I'm rooting for because one of the hardest things ever is being in a relationship, you know, like like that kind of relationship, right?
You do make a good point because could you imagine like someone at your wedding in the aisle and they're just saying I'm rooting for them? Like that's not exactly something you say to other guests at a wedding.
Yeah, or the guest book.
Yeah, I'm rooting for you.
Like, you made us do a picture and you and Grant? So if Amy and I took a picture, be like, P.S. rooting for you. Like, we're pulling for you, dog.
Well, clearly they're in a little bit different realm of life than we are. But at 6:40 today during the Mac Drop, we will, of course, celebrate the proposal that broke the internet. 7:40, it's Which One Wednesday. And 8:40, we do have Josh Kendall, Atlanta Falcons beat writer, joining us. There is a lot of Falcons news to run through today, so I do want to give you guys credit. You were so close on this 53-man roster. Well, why don't we just go ahead and knock out the bad news this morning? Caleb McGarry, placed on injured reserve without a designation to return, means his season is over. What's the game plan after this now?
Yeah, I don't think there's anything surprising about it. We all kind of figured this was coming down. I know there was a second opinion out there that wanted to be had, but I guess there was probably no reason to even put the news out before that. But the plan in place right now is to, you know, bide your time till Storm Norton comes back, hopefully after the bye week. And until then, you've got Elijah Wilkinson and the trade they made yesterday.
Yeah, I agree. I think it was half and half, the second opinion, and also what's the point of announcing until we have to announce?
Mm-hmm.
Michael Jarrell is the player that they traded a conditional seventh-round pick. So the way most of you talk about our current seventh-round pick that did make the roster – they didn't give up much. That's, you know, according to some people that were like, well, they gave up a draft pick. Mike, we watched film on Jarrell, and I want to get into this because why not? But he flashes, but he's raw.
He's got some athletic ability for sure. And that's the one thing that jumps off the tape to you is he's a guy that he's not athletically going to look overmatched, but I was trying to talk myself through what my thoughts were. I'm just watching one half of his preseason game last week, and I'm like, he's got good feet but bad footwork, if that makes sense to anybody. You know what I mean? Like, he's got really athletic feet and athletic lower body, but his technique sucks.
Mm.
You know what I mean? So, and that's what you would expect for a guy going into his second year that was a sixth-round draft pick. You know what I mean? So just fast forward 1 year from now and think of where Jack Nelson would be. And that's kind of, you know, that's kind of where you're at. He's got some ability. He's played some games. There is a lot of upside, but there's some bad too. There's definitely some bad tape. There's a reason he was available for a conditional seventh rounder. I mean, you don't get rid of polished players for something like that. And no matter what people want to say, Bo and I have told you from the beginning, this is not going to be some kind of splash player where they go find a guy that was a first-round draft pick. It's just, it was never going to happen. You've got too much invested in Caleb McGarry for the future, and he's going to be back eventually, and he's going to make $15 million when he gets back.
I also think it's very fair and honest to tell people that no one's trading a starting caliber right tackle the day after the cut day. Like that, and there's just, it's not there. You know, the closest thing you're going to find is a guy that Detroit said, you know what, you're no longer good enough to play on our offensive line, and like a Dan Skipper type guy. And we watched film on him, and he looks, first off, he's a completely different player than Wilkinson, Jarrell. He's more like a slower version of McGarry, I feel like, in some ways. In run blocking, I feel like that way. I think McGarry moves better than him in the run blocking game. Now, in the pass blocking, I would leave that to you.
Yeah, the foot speed's pretty similar in pass protection.
You know, but look, they might take a flyer on somebody still. Look, this is the initial.
I was going to say, even on AtlantaFalcons.com, it says initial 53-man roster, and it says that for a reason. Because everybody knows, and the days following. I mean, this is the point last year where we were talking about, hey, man, crazy, Taylor Heinicke made the team. Taylor Heinicke made the roster. Thought they'd move on from him. Oh, there he goes. And he was out, and he got let go yesterday as well. So
yeah, but and shout out to Trey Lance for kind of
seriously
taking a career that was going nowhere and saying, you know what, I can at the very least, I'm going to be a good backup in this league, and that's a perfect place for him too.
Yeah, I came in here the morning after that Hall of Fame game or whatever it was, and I was like, dude, I thought Trey Lance looked really good, really good.
Malik Willis is a name Mike and I mentioned earlier this morning, Allie, when we were watching the film, because by the way.
Ding.
That's who we watched film. Seattle was playing in their last preseason game was Green Bay. Malik Willis is the guy that did the same thing, a local kid that went to a first-round pick, flamed out, didn't work, found a system and a place that believed in him, and it worked for him in the system, and now he's the backup to Jordan Love. Easton Stick, not a surprise.
Right.
We talked about that. I think he'll be on the practice squad. Carlos Washington Jr. was cut, ended up the guy that they love. I think the injuries got a hold of him. They'd keep Nathan Carter, who's got 4.37 speed. Dude, I've been thinking about this one. Imagine him getting a carry or two, or maybe running a screen play with him with the first string team out there.
Anton Smith-like.
Yes, this is exactly. That's, oh God, I hate you sometimes and I love you sometimes because you beat me to it. But then again, it's kind of cool that you do because it's exactly the guy I was thinking about.
Well, coming up, we do have some more roster moves to talk about as we have the initial 53. We'll compare and contrast Mike and Bo's predictions against what came to fruition yesterday. That is next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the
Odyssey app.